To Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 17. Last week we learned that if we love God, we'll obey God, and if we obey God, our faith will be shown. It'll increase. All we have to do is trust Him and obey. Like the song says, trust and obey. There is no other way. This week, we're going to look at the transfiguration of Jesus and look at a couple of things that God laid on my heart and I wanted to share with you. And so, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, we're going to begin in verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. What we have here is the transfiguration up on the mountain of Jesus Christ. Now with Jesus are 3 people, Peter, James, and John. This is the inner circle of the disciples. These are the ones who were the closest in the ministry of Jesus Christ. They were the closest to him. Now, imagine if you will, as a matter of fact, you don't have to imagine it. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've had an experience like none other. Because when Jesus comes into your heart, he changes you. He brings to you that light that opens up every little crevice of your heart, every little crevice of your being, revealing those things that need to be changed in your life. Now, when Jesus was transfigured up here and transformed into his divine nature, into his glorified self, I want you to understand, if you've ever looked into a bright spotlight, I mean, you go up and maybe you see the helicopter flying around your neighborhood and you kind of stood out there, and as it went over it, the spotlight shined down on you and you left looking at these little black dots when it comes away, or you looked into a bright light. It's blinding. But this is brighter than even that. I can only liken it to, if you've ever seen diamonds, true diamonds, when they come out and they're in the sunlight, they sparkle so pure. That light is so, it's an attractive light. It's a light that you'll never see from anything else in this world. This is what the glorification, the transfiguration, this is what Peter, James, and John saw that day up on that mountain. They saw like diamonds in the sun, just glistening and sparkling, just a light that is so pure and so bright, there's no words to really describe it here on earth. Understand, 2 other people actually experienced this. One was Moses. When God put him in that little cave and put his hand there and passed by, and he just caught a glimpse of his back. Moses' face, it says, shone with the glory of God. And I believe Stephen was the other one. Stephen, when they were stoning him, listen to what he said. Listen to his words. I see heaven opening wide, and I see the Son of God standing on his right hand. And I believe that Stephen, even though he was facing death at that particular moment, even though he was about ready to give up the ghost, I truly believe that the glory of God shone on him because the work that he did here and the reward that was awaiting him up in heaven. But understand, that glory that you saw on their faces came from without. The glorification that shone on Jesus came from inside Jesus, because he is the divine being. He is deity. He is God. It has to well up from inside of them. But praise God, we'll get to experience that one day, those who've truly accepted him. But let's look at the reactions of Peter, James, and John, if you will. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking to him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Now there's a problem here, because they've now lifted Moses and Elias to the same plane as Jesus. Understand, Moses and Elias are servants of Christ. They were tools in the master's hands. They were his vehicle, his voice here on earth. Now, remember, it said that a bright cloud, when these things were being spoken by Peter, a bright cloud came over them, and you heard the voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I think God was reminding Peter and James and John there that, look, there is none other like Jesus Christ on this earth. This is my Son. He is deity. He deserves more than what anybody does, because he is the Son of God. And you see, you remember when you accepted Jesus into your heart, the thrill that was in there? You wanted to go out and tell everybody. I mean, if you could have, you would have just probably gotten right up on into the pulpit and started preaching that day. This is the excitement we need to have every day. And you can have it. A lot of us, our Christian walks, there comes a time when it becomes humdrum. There comes a time when we're just going through so much and we all get tired. Battling the dark forces of this world, it's a tiring experience. But if we'll just sit back and let Jesus equip us with what we need, and we put Jesus ahead of us, then we can fight this battle through his power and through his glory. So we need to understand also, excuse me, in order for us to come to that point, there's another lesson here, and that is, Peter, James, and John were given a special look at Jesus Christ, at his true self, at his glory, at his deity. Think back to when you were first deciding to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Think back to when the Holy Spirit started tapping on your heart and saying, hey, you need to listen to this. He's got something for you. God's got something for you. He's got a gift. You see, the Bible says in Romans, we've all sinned. We are all sinners. I still can't get it. The one person that said this to me, well, if we take the Bible at its face value, we're all sinners. Yeah, that's what it says. We are all sinners. The only difference between some and others is some have accepted the gift of God and got right with him. You see, God knew from the time Adam was formed until you accepted Christ, man was going to sin. We needed a Savior. And that Savior was this very person who showed his true self in front of Peter, James, and John. Now, if you think back to when you were first saved, wasn't that kind of the same experience? You see, because before you could face all the horrors and the terrors of this world and all the darkness in this world, you have to get secluded with God. You have to come to God one-on-one. You see, there's an old saying out there, one day you have to meet your Maker. You know what? There's one of two ways you can meet your Maker. One is you can meet him without his gift in your heart, and he'll say to you, get thee from me, I never knew you. Saddest words I've ever read. Saddest words I've ever heard. I don't want to hear them myself. The second one, and praise God, I don't have to hear them, is by accepting the gift of God and hearing the better words, faithful servant. You see, God's gift is that special. A lot of people, a lot of preachers out there are preaching it like, oh, it's just another thing in the day and times. I was reading a news article today. A doctor did a news article for a newspaper on this COVID thing. He said, listed 9 things that we need to avoid. 9 places we need to avoid so that we don't get COVID. The 9th one was a church or worship center, because it's the highest risk there is. Well, I'm going to differ with him. I would love to argue with him, because I say it's the healthiest place to get, because it doesn't matter about this body. It matters about our spiritual body. It matters, is our heart right with Christ? Now, finally, let's finish off, because I want to go into 2 Peter real quick, 2 Peter chapter 1, because when they came down the mountain, or when they fell on, when God spoke about Jesus, they fell on their face, and they were sore afraid, but Jesus came up to them and said, arise, fear not, arise, and they were gone. And as they came down the mountain, remember, Jesus told them, tell this story to no one until after I've risen. Now, go back to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, as this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. You see, Peter's testimony was just that. He witnessed the glory of Jesus Christ. Him, James, and John got to see Jesus as he truly is. Praise God. One day, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, this should be something that gets us up and gets us fired up each and every day. Because if this is the last day that we live on this earth, if this is the day that God says, Jesus, go get the children, or he says, you're done, you've run your race, it's time to come home. If this is our last day on earth, we'll get to see him as he truly is. Amen? And we'll get to see what Peter, James, and John saw on that mountain. But I think it's going to be more special, because we have something to look forward to. Blessed is he that believes and hath not seen. That's what the word says. So that's our hope. As we go through this week and we're sharing with other people, we need to realize that hope is that glorification of Jesus Christ. That hope is to know that our Savior, who died on that cross, was buried and risen again, is still on his throne, is ready to come and take his church home. That's our hope. That's our joy. And that's the faith that we need to bring into this world.